On today's edition of The Plumb Line, I'm your host, Jay Rudolph, and I'm joined by Randy Alcorn, author of Heaven. The 20th anniversary edition came out recently, over 1 million copies sold. And boy, I hope many, many more sell, because this book is truly based upon the inerrant, authoritative, all-sufficient Word of God. And so I'm so very thankful to Randy for writing the book and for coming on the broadcast here to share more about it. We've had some great discussion already. And by the way, if you've missed the first portions of this, you can go places where you go for podcasts, pretty much anywhere the Plumb Line should be available. I know it's on Spotify, so you can go there and put in the Plumb Line with Jay Rudolph and listen to this. But Randy, we've been spending a fair amount of time talking about some of the distinctions here between the present heaven and what I've been calling the permanent heaven. I guess we could call it the new heavens and the new earth. And then there's also the new Jerusalem, too. And so let's start off this segment by discussing that. When I read the Word of God, I see many places where the land of Israel, of which Israel has never really possessed all of it, that's kind of an interesting little side note too, is that like they've always fallen short of possessing all of what was, you know, given to them by God, but they will. One day, I believe that they will possess all of that land forever and ever, is the way the scriptures describe it. And so to me, that means this physical earth that we're on right now, somehow there's going to be, I guess, the new Jerusalem that will be where those messianic Jews will dwell forever, right?
Right. And this is where I think the concept of continuity is so important. There is a continuity between our old bodies and our new bodies. A lot of people, you know, great, I'll have a new body, like creation ex nihilo, out of nothing, like God did in the beginning. No, it's not out of nothing. It's out of something. It's restoring. It's the rewords that are used in scripture: redeem, reconcile, resurrect, you know, putting the emphasis on the re parts of those. And it's to bring back what God made in the first place. See, this is something where, Jay, I think that we so often act as if, okay, God had this plan, and then Satan messed everything up, and human beings succumbed to Satan's temptation, messed everything up. And now the original plan of God for righteous men and women to rule forever, the animals, to have governance over the earth, will never be fulfilled beyond what happened with Adam and Eve before they sinned, which doesn't appear to be a very long period of time, because I think she was created fertile, and they were told to be fruitful and multiply, and she hadn't had a baby yet before they're out of the garden. So just, you know, do the little time frame thing there. They were not long in Eden before they fell. But the point is, we act as if Satan somehow forever derailed the plan of God, and now the best God can do, instead of having people righteously rule the earth forever, is to relocate them to an angelic heaven of disembodied spirits where we will live in the place of the angels forever. On the contrary, he did all that he did in the redemptive work of Christ to empower and restore his original plan for us to rule the earth for his glory. So to be resurrected people on ruling over a resurrected earth to the glory of God is exactly to fulfill the very original plan of God that is laid out in Genesis 1 and 2. So bookends of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2 on one end, and Revelation 21 and 22 on the other end.
Well, I'm just thinking, you're using those re-words. So will this, the permanent heaven anyway, new heaven, and the new earth as well, will this be the restored Garden of Eden then?
I think so, because Revelation 2 mentions the tree of life being in the paradise of God. Well, that paradise now is in the present heaven, but then we are told that the tree of life, it reappears in Revelation 22 on the new earth. But this time, the tree of life is growing on both sides of this great river. So essentially, the tree of life has become a forest of life on the new earth, and bearing a new fruit every month, and leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. So no more sickness, no more disease. You know, any of the bad stuff is not going to happen anymore. So yes, in essence, I think the new earth will be a global Eden.
Yeah. So just thinking a little bit more, too, about the differences between the present heaven, the new heavens, and the new earth that we will dwell in. Can we anticipate, looking at the scriptures, that we will do different things? We've already talked about kind of our status, I guess, being different, that our bodies will be resurrected and those will have in the new heavens and new earth. But, you know, as far as what we do and things like that, are there differences between the two states, I guess?
Yes, because the differences would be primarily that we will be embodied people living on an actual physical earth, and earthly people, people living on earth, do those things that people do on earth. So tending a garden, I don't think there is the tending of a garden necessarily. I mean, I don't think so in the present heaven. Certainly, if we're totally disembodied, there would be no tending of a garden. There'd be no garden. But even if given some temporal form, there will be much that will be done on an earth and the new earth, much like was done on the old earth. And scripture says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Well, eating and drinking to the glory of God, we will do forever. Jesus mentioned 7 or 8 times in the Gospels, eating and drinking together in God's kingdom. Now, are people eating and drinking right now in the present heaven? I don't think so. They could, I guess. I mean, God gives them physical forms. But I think that's probably, I won't taste of this again until you do it with me in my kingdom. And I think embodied people eating and drinking with Jesus and each other. So, everything opens up in our new bodies on the new earth because we'll be fully human again. You know, our spirits and bodies joined together. So then it says his servants will serve him. You know, servants have things to do, places to go, people to see. Servants are active. This is not simply worshiping in the way we think of worshiping, meaning singing and praying or whatever, hands raised. You know, will there be that? Of course there will be that. I mean, that's very clear in Revelation 5 and 7, among other places, and the four living creatures who will be leading us in worship. By the way, that's a very interesting thing. I deal with this in the Heaven book and a couple of chapters related to animals. But that word is the common Greek word that is translated in other places in the New Testament. Instead of living creatures, it's translated animals. It's just the common word for animals. Mm. But I think the translators don't want us to think, oh, wait a minute, you're not going to say animals. The four animals who lead us in worship, because animals don't worship, and animals can't lead us in worship. Well, let's let God decide. I mean, he uses the word for animals. And yes, three of them, you know, there's different animals that they represent. Lion, ox, is it eagle, the other one, whatever, you know, but these animals, all right, but they're leading us in worship. Well, we'll have worship, but, you know, take care of the earth, the fruit of the trees, the leaves of the trees for the healing of the nations. There will be much to do, service. There will be cities on the new earth. There will be nations on the new earth. We know that because Revelation 21 mentions the kings of the nations of the earth will bring their tribute into the new Jerusalem, or the treasures into the new Jerusalem. So I think that nations throughout history will be represented there. But we are told, remember, that been faithful in little, Jesus said, I'll put you over much, and some will rule over 5 cities, 3 cities, 1 city. Well, there have to be cities in order for people to be ruling over cities. So heaven is also described as a country. So all of the things that we do and enjoy on the earth, and I think that would include arts, music, sports, you name it. Now, one time I said this at a conference, there's a pastor who came up to me afterwards and says, no, there can't be sports on the new earth. There's no sports in heaven. And I go, well, if you mean present heaven, maybe not. But if you mean new earth, why would there not be? Whose idea was sports? Well, human beings created in the image of God. So if we're in his image, we're reflecting him. So he said, well, no, there couldn't be any sports because sports bring out the worst in us. And of course, they said, well, here's the thing. there will be no worst in us to bring out, right? We will be glorified forever. We will have the very righteousness of Christ. And so we think of things that we don't do well now. And I'm a high school tennis coach. Believe me, I know what he means, that it can bring out the worst. It can also bring out the best in you. It depends on the person, the situation, and all of that. But why would we not do those things? So I think eating and drinking and worshiping and creating art and doing science and all of the learning, reading, teaching, you know, writing, all of these things. Now, there will be some exceptions, of course. You know, the undertaker will have to change his job, you know, probably the doctor, you know, right? Because the healing's already there and you're not going to have to worry about that. But many things that we do and we love right now, to taking care of animals. There will be animals on the new earth. Isaiah 11 and Isaiah 65 have these various species of animals. There's about 12 or 13 of them total that are mentioned. They include lion and lamb and goat and oxen and bear, and all of those will be there. And the original job was to take care of animals on this earth, and I think we'll be taking care of animals there. And my wife would say this. She would say, Randy, do you think it'd be okay if I asked the Lord, instead of putting me over a city, that he would put me over 100 dogs? And I said, you go right ahead and ask him, because he created the dogs. He said, there are going to be animals on the new earth. If there's these other animals, I'm sure there'll be dogs, cats, you name it. And so go from there.
Yeah, well, I was just thinking the great thing about sports, too, is get angry when I lose anymore. So,
yes.
It's amazing to think about all this. So I've got so many more things I want to ask you about. We're going to have to go to the break here. But when we come back, we'll try to hit on a couple of those. I'm going to just try to bring to you some of the things that I think about the most, or that I believe our listeners think about the most, too, so we can get answers to those. And then we're going to be about out of time here. It just flies by too quickly. One thing that I wanted to make sure that I got in is when a lot of us, maybe most of us, think about heaven, one thing that really comes to mind, especially if we're getting up there in years, is that we'll no longer have all those aches and pains, those diseases and afflictions that we go through in life. They'll all be gone. No more tears, no more sorrow, and no more, you know, disease or pain and all that. And sometimes, I guess the way I want to put this is, and you can comment on that aspect of it, but the way I want to put this is sometimes, and I fall into this trap too, it seems as though I'm more excited or thinking more about that aspect, just, you know, the perfection of heaven, then I am thinking about what's really most important. That is that we're going to be with God. We're going to be with our Creator forever. That should rule and reign in our thinking.
Well, absolutely. I mean, it's all about God, but what we fail to realize sometimes, people say, well, okay, because God is the most important element by far of heaven, therefore we will give 100% direct attention to worshiping God all the time. But this is a basic misunderstanding of worship and glorifying God, because in this life, we are called upon to put Him first all the time. You know, whether you eat or drink, whatever you do, do all the glory of God. Right. So you can eat to the glory of God. You can drink to the glory of God. You can do anything and everything that is right, and we'll only do right things in heaven to the glory of God. So we will be bringing praise and honor to Him when we play, when we rest, when we take walks, when we hang out with the animals and each other. So this is not choose between God and the world God has made. God has made the world for us to live in and to serve Him and to do things. So we will serve each other in who knows what ways, because you could think, well, we won't have to serve each other because nobody will have any needs. No, the other way to look at it is that we may still have any number of needs, but those needs will always be met. And so, again, eating and drinking. Will we need to eat and drink? Some people say, oh, well, we don't need to eat or drink. We can fast for 1,000 years if we want to. Or is it that God will make us people who, yes, need to eat and drink, but we will never go hungry or thirsty because there will always be food to eat and water and other drinks to drink?
Yeah. Well, along those lines, let me ask the big question. You address it in chapter 41 of the book here, and I hear this from particularly people who haven't trusted in Christ. They act like they don't really want to go to heaven because they see it being perpetual boredom, and you ask the question, will heaven ever be boring?
Yeah, I don't think it will ever be boring for the precise reason that God is never boring. He is an infinite reservoir of knowledge and wisdom and holiness and happiness. And I think we sometimes just miss that. We miss the joy of God. And because of that, it is just going to be, I think, forever a learning experience just to be with him. Never boring, because always something new to learn. I was reading the other day, someone saying who works in oceanography and the discovery of new species, and there's like 3,000 new species of underwater animals discovered each year, saying, we think that we have maybe discovered 10% of all there is in terms of species in the ocean. Okay, wow. So you can go on discovering new species. You can just carry over to the new Earth whenever it is that we're there and have a bunch of things never even discovered on the old Earth that will be there on the new Earth to discover. And by the way, some people would say, yeah, but there won't be any oceans on the new Earth. No more sea. Well, actually, my interpretation of that, same as Charles Spurgeon's and many others, is that no more sea in the sense of everything that was wrong with the sea, where people died at sea, and warfare, invaders came from the sea, sea monsters devoured you, your ship sank, people never saw their loved ones again once they went out to sea. That's the no more sea it's talking about.
Okay, interesting. Well, we don't have time to go any farther down that road, but people can pick up the book probably and get more on that. So I appreciate you bringing that up. Well, just time for a couple more things. And one of those is that, you know, I often hear people make comments like, oh, he's looking down at me now, and I'm sure he's smiling. You're referring not to God, but to relatives that have passed away. And so this is kind of going back to the present heaven. And so those in the present heaven now, I don't see anywhere in the scripture that would indicate that they're looking upon us on earth. What are your thoughts?
Well, there are a few exceptions to that. I mean, it certainly doesn't show us people just watching what's going on down on earth like it's a telecast and all heaven is paying attention to it. But certainly in Revelation 6, you have the martyrs who are saying, how long, O Lord, before you bring judgment on those who murdered us? Well, not only do they remember that they were murdered, but they also apparently know that God has not yet judged those people, because they're not asking, have you yet judged them? They're asking, how long before you judge them, implying some knowledge, whether that's visually given to them or that's been explained to them. You also have Luke 15, where you have whenever there's a new convert, whenever a sinner repents, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels. It doesn't say the angels rejoice. It's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Well, who lives in the presence of angels? People, God's people, as well as God himself. And I think that it's saying those who are seeing probably answer to prayer of people they prayed for, to the faith in Christ. That just means it's possible. And sometimes I have a grandson that's getting married next month. And my wife, Nancy, went home to be with the Lord 3 years ago. One of the things she talked about was, I'd really love to meet the girls that my grandsons are going to marry. I know I'll meet them someday, but I would love to see their weddings and all that. Now, it would not surprise me in the least. In fact, it would actually surprise me if I found out that God wasn't allowing my wife to watch the wedding of a loved one. We don't lose our love for the people in our lives when we die. And some people say, well, there's better things to do in heaven than see what's going on down on earth. Well, actually, earth is center stage. It's like center court at Wimbledon. This is where the ongoing redemptive plan of God is happening. So yes, I think heaven takes interest in earth.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. The one thing I guess I would add to that is maybe God has a way of shielding us from seeing the bad then, because my main reason that I kind of believe or think that people wouldn't see what's going on earth is that heaven's perfect. And if you're looking and seeing all the rebellion and all the terrible things going on earth, that kind of ruins the whole thing. But I wish I had more time to have you kind of address that, but I'm going to have to just leave that comment sit as it is, and people can ponder on that. And even more importantly, and this is kind of what you say too at the beginning of your book, is take everything in the book, everything that you and I have shared here, and put it up alongside Scripture. And if it doesn't, if it doesn't align with Scripture, throw it out. So that applies to any of our thoughts that we shared here today. So, well, I've got just a moment left, but I would like you, I guess, to just leave us, if there's something really big that's just going on in your brain right now saying, boy, we sure missed that, share that, or just kind of sum us up, wrap this up for us, if you would.
Well, actually, the thing that's on my mind is what we didn't have time for, but we do now, because you asked it, is that thing about how it will be for us in heaven. Because I actually believe that what makes heaven heaven is not lack of knowledge of bad things in the universe, but the presence of God, who is sovereign, who knows all things. God sees everything, and he's not unhappy. The angels see certain things. The angels certainly know there's sin going on down on earth, and I don't think it makes heaven less than heaven for them. So I think what we need to look at is perspective. I think when we're in heaven, we will have an eternal perspective that we don't have now that would allow us to see some bad things going on. For instance, when Jesus comes back with his armies and defeats the enemy, I mean, people in heaven will know there's bad going on and evil going on, and they'll see that evil being conquered and they'll rejoice. And all the people of God will, you know, many of them will come, or all of them, depending on your point of view, will come with them. So I think that that eternal perspective we will have when we're in the presence of God is the key to making heaven heaven.
I appreciate that. And of course, this whole idea, the word eternal, we can't even just wrap our minds at all around a concept of eternity. It will go on forever and ever and ever. And it's just unfathomable to our brains. But one day we will experience and be able to understand and be right with our Creator, who understands it all perfectly. Well, Randy, thank you so much. Been a great blessing to have you on. And I do hope we get to visit again in the future. Thanks so much.
All right, look forward to it.
Randy Alcorn again, author of Heaven, Heaven from a Biblical Worldview, our subject on the Plumb Line today. So thankful to each and every one of you for joining me, and I would love to have you come back for the next edition of The Plumb Line. Love to have you also visit the website r4h.com/theplumbline, where you can find out more about the show, check the station listings and times, as well as a way to listen online, all at r4h.com/theplumbline. We'll see you next time on The Plumb Line.